Red Rising, I think, went really good.
Yeah, it went
That was
so good.
fun.
Danny is so excited. She was, oh my gosh. Do you want to hear something funny and embarrassing?
Go for it.
So we get in bed last night, and like I smelled her pits, and they were absolutely rancid.
Well, now we're definitely keeping this in. This is going at the end of the episode.
It's absolutely rancid. And she, I was like, what is that? And she goes, I was nervous before we recorded the podcast. I said, I wanted to do good. And I was very excited about it. I was like, so it made me laugh. It was super funny. But she was
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
nervous about recording with you and wanting to like do a good job and be a good, like, involving like I thought it was adorable, and I was like, and meanwhile, when we first had our couple episodes, we just railed that
What else do you do?
guy. I know, like we she came into this with such professionalism. Yeah, I will say, so I finally watched the final episode of Fallout last night, and apparently, according to my wife, in my sleep last night, I was giddily being like, it's so good, while I was full blown asleep. The last frame of the last episode literally had me shoot up straight up in my bed, because we were watching in my bedroom, and like bounce. I haven't bounced on the bed. You know, when you were a kid and something like
Oh, yeah,
awesome
you did that.
happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you like bounce in the bed. I bounced in the bed. I was so excited. Because it shows New Vegas.
Well, on that bombshell, what's up, fandom? My name is Josh, and I've got Corey.
Yeah!
And,
Spoilers
oh,
ahead!
so many spoilers. Well, you spoiled in the intro, so I mean, like, I don't know why you would. We're using that New Vegas for the beginning. We're using that
Oh.
as the clip. Yeah, that's the lead in. You
Oh.
talking about Fallout, that's the lead in. Yeah.
Ah-ha!
See? That's why we do the the chatty at the beginning.
The preamble,
Yeah,
yeah.
exactly. Yeah. So Fallout, spoilers for Fallout, the TV show, and possibly the games, which aren't particularly connected, I believe.
Nope, they're super connected. They are canon.
Well,
Like, Todd Howard confirmed that this is canon. So it is connected to the games very,
the
very
main games,
directly.
right, though, not like the ancillary games.
Uh,
Like the
there,
main.
there's only one ancillary game, which
Yeah,
is
of
Shelter.
yeah. Is
And I
that is that could
guess
is that could
'76 could be considered not possibly not canon, though that's I
Is
think it
Fallout
is.
Shelter still going around? Is that still a thing that you could do?
People still play it.
I played it for a hot minute. And it was fun.
It got repetitive though after a
Yeah.
while.
Because you're like, oh, how many times can the Raiders attack? So,
But I had
yeah.
fun while I was playing it. I actually had a
It would
pretty
be
big vault.
cool. I mean, if they're smart and they're still updating it, maybe put some characters from the show in there. Maybe have
Oh,
them.
they 100% have. I think you can get
Okay.
Lucy as a vault person in your vault.
See,
Like,
that would be fun.
I think you can. Which, by the way, first note of this episode, the casting in that show was immaculate. Everybody did an incredible job. It's just, I want to be in that show so desperately bad. If you're listening, if anybody involved in that show is listening to this episode, please put me in that show. I will pay you money. I will pay you money.
Yeah, like so. I mean, I guess we could talk about our three main characters because I mean, like, that's pretty much it. We have Lucy, who is played by Ella Purnell. I'm gonna butcher name. Sorry, Maximus.
Biggest eyes in the industry.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maximus, which is Aaron Moten, and then we got Cooper Howard, aka the Ghoul, aka the original Vault Boy, Walton Goggins.
Which, by the way, probably the outstanding performance of the whole thing.
Dude, okay, so the problem with this show is Walton Goggins steals everything that he's in. Every scene that he's in, you're just like, okay, I don't care about anything else. Like, other people can be in the shot, I don't care. Like, it's just Walton Goggins for me.
I will say though, he's single-handedly proved incels wrong that it's not about looks. You could look like a burnt avocado and still be sexy. Like, he really is like the epitome of like charm. Like that guy, I don't know what he's doing with this character, but he is just he's evil. Like he's flat out being a bastard the whole show, and you
Except when he's a
still.
good guy, except when like before, and you're like, you can see like how much, like, what is it, like 200 years
But
since
that has, you
everything?
don't even start getting a sense of that until like the very end. Like, and you don't really see him start, like, he's kind of like, I'm just a Hollywood dad, like, dadding it up for most of it. Like, nothing good or bad, just like, you know, Hollywood dad, dude. And then you start seeing it's like, oh, he's actually like a good guy in like the final two or three episodes is
Yeah,
when
see,
you start.
yeah, that's like what I mean. Like you're like kind of like, okay, he's like a good-ish guy. He's not the ghoul, like for the entire time. But like, I guess like 200 years living as a ghoul and living in the wasteland,
And
like,
hard drugs,
and
200 years of hard drugs.
lots of hard drugs,
Yeah.
will just like turn you into this thing.
Which is new lore, by the way. The one thing the show has added is that that hasn't existed before now. It was in the games that you could turn into a ghoul through drug use.
I was gonna ask that. Can you turn into a ghoul in the game? Can I, if I decided to get
No.
Fallout 4 now, could I be a Goggins?
No, you could not.
Okay.
Through mods, you can. There are plenty of mods that'll make you a ghoul. But there's no in-game way because the process of becoming a ghoul takes much longer than any game takes place in. Like the ghoulification takes years of like, and there's not a real confirmed how it happens. Right now, the prevailing theory is that basically, if you're exposed to FEV, which is like this another major plot device in the universe of Fallout, and you are irradiated, you will mutate into a ghoul, which makes you effectively immortal. Not have to eat as much, not have to, you don't really have to sleep as much. You're basically immortal, but all your skin rots off and you're a walking corpse. And you run the risk of going feral over time because your brain rots out of your skull.
So did Thaddeus, was Thaddeus a ghoul?
The squire?
Yeah,
Yeah,
because.
he's been ghoulified through drug use.
Okay, so it was the drug use that did it.
The doctor basically
Okay.
pumped him full of drugs that he's possibly also just by being in the Brotherhood been exposed to FEV. I mean, that's kind of a given because they fight a lot of super mutants and they fight a lot of things that have been exposed to FEV. A lot of the horrors of the Fallout universe were created by the Forced Evolutionary Virus, which is what FEV stands for. And so most likely he was exposed to FEV and those drugs just expedited the ghoulification process and made him a ghoul.
I would assume that Lucy is probably ghoulish, probably. I mean, or my, because like she drinks the irradiated water and everything. And if it, to me, it would make sense. I'm sure it does. I'm sure there's a whole thing in the game, because this would be a weird thing to do. But wouldn't she have like less resistance to everything coming from a
So
vault into the
the
real
FEV,
world?
because she most likely isn't yet, if she is. Because she hasn't come into contact with anything like she'd really have to come in contact with like a super mutant or a Deathclaw, something that was directly created by FEV in order to get like
She
the
did bite off Walton Goggins' finger, though, so she's got a little bit of
that's true. So
truth in her, you know?
that might be, but if there's a character that most likely doesn't, it's her because she is comes from a control vault, and control vaults generally aren't exposed to anything. That's kind of like why in the Fallout universe, vault dwellers are kind of a commodity, and in of it said their unirradiated DNA is kind of a commodity to some people.
Okay, so again, spoilers. We'll kind of go through the Fallout TV series timeline-esque. So I will read the wonderful IMDb synopsis of Fallout because it is the most accurate thing in the world. In a future post-apocalyptic Los Angeles brought about by nuclear decimation, fantastic use for decimation or decimation instead of like destruction. That's good. Citizens must live in underground bunkers to protect themselves from radiation, mutants, and bandits. It's pretty good.
Sort of. Yeah.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
That's what I love about the IMDb synopsis. It's just enough to be possibly correct.
Yeah. But not enough to be incorrect.
Exactly. Especially new stuff, because they don't like giving stuff away. But like later on, like stuff that came out in like in the 70s, they're giving you like the whole breakdown of everything.
So the show takes place, fun fact number one, which will be a bunch of them. There will be fun facts throughout this entire episode.
Sorry, real quick. I want to do one thing before we start. I just kind of like the lore of Fallout, so people aren't like, Josh doesn't know what the heck he's talking about. I've never played a Fallout game other than Fallout Shelter. But I do know enough about Fallout through like YouTube videos and like common zeitgeist media knowledge. Corey, what about you?
I have put thousands upon thousands upon thousands of hours into all the Fallout games, mainly 3, New Vegas, and 4. I was a level 176 or something, or 77, something like that. Somewhere 170s on Fallout 76. And I played Shelter. I have a NCR Ranger cosplay, a Ranger Sequoia, an anti-material rifle, a Pip-Boy. My entire garage is Fallout themed, and my desktop computer is Fallout themed as well.
So safe to assume you this enjoy is my number Fallout.
One, this is my number one favorite fandom. It's my number one.
All right, sorry, you were saying, sorry. I wanted to make that out there, so no. If Josh says something stupid, people are like, oh, he just doesn't know.
No, and actually, you know what my favorite thing about the show is that it's gotten an interest in Fallout by people that haven't come across Fallout up until now. Like, that is the most exciting thing about the show for me, is now I have on set, I'm shooting a movie right now, and on set, this mom and her daughter, the daughter's in the movie, started watching Fallout because of my recommendation, and like, I get to talk with them about Fallout every time I show up on set. And that is the most joy I've experienced in the fandom in months. It's like, finally, I have a lot more people than I've ever had to talk about Fallout, because I love Fallout. So the fun fact I had about this, one of the first of many, is that this show takes place the furthest in the timeline we've seen thus far. This is the latest in the timeline we've seen. The show is the latest thing that we have. Like, all the other games and materials happened before the show.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, timeline-wise, where this kind of... Because, like, they kind of, like, from, you know, online, like, people trying to guess where this is. Because, I mean, like, time-wise, it's like, after everything.
Yeah, it's after everything that has come before. So they have a lot of writing freedom in the sense that like, they don't have to hold anything. They have a lot of toys and nothing binding them.
Which is good. Like,
which is one of the many things they've done right with this show. You know, kind of like we've had an episode, one of the other episodes I was on, we talked about Star Trek. One of the constraints that Star Trek has is that they're in the middle of a timeline. Like, mm-hmm. they have to eventually end up at Kirk. And so there's constraints with that.
Yeah. It's kind of the same thing that Star Wars has, too. Because mm-hmm. they're, like, all of their stuff is in, like, between, you know, movie A and movie B. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, we've got, like, a 20-year gap here, but it's still, like, yeah, but you have this much time. Like,
all
there's
the decisions
not a lot
of... All the decisions you make have to lead to that inevitability. And nothing you do can conflict with that inevitability.
Exactly.
With the Fallout series, there is no inevitability. One of the major things they did in this show, which, believe me, it's like one of the things I love that they did it, and how they did it had so much meaning, but I hate that they did it because it's my favorite faction.
The New California Republic?
I love the New California Republic. I love them. They're my favorite faction. I have an NCR Ranger outfit. Like, and we got to see one ranger, and he wasn't wearing his helmet right, which pissed me off. because his mask is too far down, and like you could see like the whole topper is like, "Wear that helmet." I'm like, "Who the fuck? Who's the customer here? This is wrong." Like I was upset.
He's retired.
He is retired, and his son obviously is not a ranger, so. Right. And it is not explicitly stated he's a ranger, but how how the ghoul says, "I have a couple of bullets from you still in me," kind of suggests that he was probably a ranger beforehand. Because otherwise, how would he be able to compete with the devastating force of God that is
I
the
mean, we may see some. I mean, they may not all be wiped out. I mean, I'm sure there's
Oh,
some.
they definitely were, because by the time that this show is taking place, it means it takes place after New Vegas. And in New Vegas, the NCR is spread out over 5 states. So there's definitely some facts. But the thing is that the power of the NCR has definitely been annihilated, because Shady Sands was their capital. And it was a powerful capital because of the Gek that was used to create it.
What's a geck?
So a Gek is a thing from Fallout 1 and 2. Fallout 1 and 2 sees the creation of Shady Sands and the new California Republic. And a Gek was this kind of plot device from the original games, where it was this device that could basically re-terraform Earth in small sections, like create viable Earth, create potable water. Like it was this extremely powerful device that could create around it usable in unirradiated Earth. That's why what we see, we see the cornfields and all the things when they're doing the flashbacks of Shady Sands. That's all because of the Gek. That's all because of this MacGuffin briefcase from the original games that created basically the resource and power that the NCR had, which was, able to, which gave them the capability of expanding to 5 states and eventually into Las Vegas, Nevada, even though it's constantly stated in the game that they've kind of spread their forces too thin, which is why they weren't able to hold the dam and why they were kind of having a bit of a problem outright dealing with the Caesar's Legion, which is the main baddies of the New Vegas game. So it is kind of alluded that they were spread thin, but they were still capable of doing that, and that's because of the resources afforded them by the Gek. So,
Okay, that makes sense.
which is like their power over, like, technology is the Brotherhood of Steel's power. Like they have a shit ton of tech. The NCR had numbers and resource.
That makes sense. So yeah, you do have. So you can join, because I think, like, can't you in Fallout 4, can't you join like the Brotherhood of Steel? That's like, yeah. And
If
so
you want to
you,
be a racist.
I don't
Yeah, like
know.
they're habitually like the Fallout's universe is racist, like militant racists. Like they don't like anything that's mutated, they don't like ghouls, they don't like anything that's unnatural. And so they destroy it with prejudice.
So humans first.
Human first, and
Human first.
also they weirdly have this thing like, we have to protect humanity from itself, so we're gonna hoard all this technology and give it to nobody. Like
That's smart.
they're also kind of like zealots in a sense. Like they're
Well,
kind
yeah,
of
because like
religious.
they kind of give you like that there's a religious order attached with them.
They're very much the Fallout universe's Templars.
Yeah,
Like
that's kind of what I was thinking. It was like, I was gonna ask, like, are they like Templar type
they
of?
are
Okay, that makes
100% like
sense.
Templar, except instead of like serving a god, because there are religious factions, there are cults in Fallout. They don't serve a god, they serve technology in the protection of it. Like, and also, too, another thing that's really brilliant about Fallout is there are different factions even within the Brotherhood. There is the West Coast Brotherhood and the East Coast Brotherhood, and they're very different from each other.
Is there a good brotherhood? Or are they all just kind of like, eh?
One of the kind of the tenets of Fallout is moral ambiguity, where for everything that a faction does right, they also do wrong. So like even the NCR, they're basically the US military in a sense that like there's a lot of political corruption within the NCR. There's a lot of like bureaucracy, and so their biggest flaw is that everything that America currently has wrong with it is what's reflected in the NCR, versus like the Brotherhood of Steel, like everything that was wrong with the Roman Catholics is wrong with the Brotherhood of Steel.
Okay.
And so like each of the factions within Fallout kind of have a lot of share some real world like inspiration and all of the flaws that went with them. So like the Roman Catholics were really about hoarding information and not giving it to the public. If you couldn't read Latin, you couldn't
Yeah, who knows what
read
the
the.
priests were saying?
Yeah, they could make up their own shit. And the same thing,
Indulgences.
yeah, and the same thing happens with the Brotherhood. And depending on which Brotherhood you're dealing with, because I think the East Coast Brotherhood are way more zealot, like bigger zealots, like they're insane, like they're just like heresy crusades, like they're the ones with the Prydwen, which is the big airship that we see. And why we see like there's also a new rank that we've never seen before, which is cleric. What do they call them?
I think it was cleric, wasn't
Yeah,
it?
that's
What's
that we have.
his face guy?
Yeah, we haven't seen that before in the games. That's not a rank that has existed before. But yeah, like they're way more, but it makes sense for if they have the Prydwen, then they're most likely the East Coast Brotherhood. And
What are they doing
that,
all the way out in?
oh, they've been making their way across,
Oh, okay.
like they, or are they West Coast and they've come back? I can't remember. Hold on. I can't remember where, because when they show up in the Commonwealth, so that same airship shows up in the Commonwealth in Fallout 4, which the show canonizes only two endings now of the game. But it's the same ship. It's confirmed that is the same airship. There's no way that more than one of that airship exists.
We don't
And
have the
there,
technology to build another one.
I think it's just like there was only one made, and it's been just, and like they just, nobody, nothing, no infrastructure's left to make another one.
And nothing is big enough to destroy it, basically.
Yeah, no faction has the firepower. Actually, the faction that has the firepower required to destroy that ship is the Brotherhood of Steel. Like,
And yeah, that's like total annihilation if the East and the West Coast attack each other.
yeah.
So yeah, I think it happened.
Which
So,
they have attacked each other
oh
before.
really?
Like, yeah, they caused a splinter cell of like exiled Brotherhood that they have red armor and it's badass.
So it's all America, right? There's no Fallout that's like, this is Fallout France.
Not that's canon. I mean, in the sense that like the whole world was destroyed, so everywhere is in Fallout. But I don't know if in the games we get to see anywhere else. In the games we get to see, so like in 4 we get to see a Chinese submarine, because the big bad of the American 20 the war that ended everything was
China.
China versus America.
Which they talk about in
Yeah.
this one as well, because we've got like our own Red Scare, but we got rid of the Russians and just replaced them with
The
Chinese.
Russians are involved. Like they fired too in the Fallout universe. Like they were involved. They just weren't the major power. Like the two big powers slugging it out were America versus China in the resource wars, which was all over uranium. So in the Fallout universe, basically the biggest divergence for the Fallout universe is that microchips were never invented. So everything sort of stays with transistors and nuclear power. And so obviously a bunch of technology and inventions are made, but it causes a resource war over uranium, because we blaze through uranium very, very quickly. And then China, in pursuit of uranium deposits, invades Alaska, which is like the biggest, the Battle of Anchorage, which is the biggest inciting incident of the whole universe that causes the Third War, and then which ends in Vault-Tec basically socially engineering everyone to annihilate each other, which is revealed in the show. But also we kind of, I think it was confirmed in games. I think that that's something we've known, that Valtic basically orchestrated everything.
So we start with Vault 32, and we start with Lucy, and she's living with Paul Atreides. Also, Kyle McClanahan, I forgot to mention him. He's also fantastic in this. That like last shot of him in like the armor standing like in front of New Vegas, that's just a dope shot.
Oh, it's so dope. And he's such a good villain. He played this so incredibly well. His performance is stellar because I did not hate him until the very end. And then I really hated him because he played that transition. He didn't go super evil. Like, he played that transition. He walked a fine line and he did it. Oh,
And he's
so well.
the way that he like plays it off too. It's like in his mind, everything that he did was correct. Like he is still, everything is right. And so that's, again, that's what makes compelling characters. Like if you have a villain and they're just like bad, that's not fun. Like
What is
we don't care about that.
the adage is the best villains are ones that think they're the hero of the story.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, that's good. 'Cause I mean, most stories, that's your villain. We can go with Red Rising, like that's very similar.
Augustus feels he's the hero in the story. He
Exactly.
feels that he is the righteous hero.
Oh shoot, what's her name? Not the Empress. What's her name? No, she's the Empress.
Oh, the sovereign.
The sovereign. Even the sovereign is like, if I don't do this, it's all gonna go bad. And yeah, so
She's not
she's not
wrong.
wrong.
She's so not wrong. Like, I hate that she wasn't wrong. Like, it's so bad.
you're like, nah, it'll be fine. And you're like, ooh, no,
No, Der
she was correct.
she was absolutely correct. But yeah, like, he thinks he's the hero, and he does a good job of transitioning to a villain in a very short amount of time, because it's only like 20 minutes that we get to see his descent into sort of madness.
Because you see him in the first episode, and then he's just gone until the set, like till episode 8, and you're like, oh, okay, he's back.
And he's in a cage, and the whole show's been about saving him, and then you get to see the main character like deal. This bug really
I've
wants
been
my face.
seeing it. I'm like, it loves you, bro.
It loves me. I want to end
it's a
its
little it's a
life.
little rat roach in the
Oh,
beginning.
I will say though, biggest disappointment the whole show is I kind of upset we didn't get to see a death claw.
We did.
We got to see a skull
We
of
got to see the
one.
skull. Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah. But it was weird. It was so weird that the big monster we got to see was a gulper. Like, that's so weird.
I was wondering, like, did the death claws like not come out until New Vegas, and that's why we saw
No,
one in Vegas?
they've been a part of every single game.
Okay.
Every
Interesting.
single game. Like, death claws are almost as synonymous with Fallout as like the Brotherhood of Steel. Like, they're always the big enemy, that like the big monster enemy that's the hardest to kill. Like, they do the most damage. Their bullet sucks. They're hard to take down. Like, they're so the fact that and gulpers, as far as to my knowledge, now mind you, I was trying to rack my brain if we've seen gulpers anywhere else. Gulpers we only see in the DLC of Fallout 4 and Fallout 76. They are a relatively new beast that like we don't see anywhere else.
Do they and they got the finger
Yeah,
tongue
they're
thingers?
awful. They're
Okay.
horrifying.
They did a great job. I was like, oh, it's an axolotl. Oh no, it's not. That's a bad axolotl. That's not a happy
Oh,
axolotl.
when I saw that it had fingers inside, I was like,
Yeah, like
ah.
no. So if Vault 32, very, very happy place seems. I do like when Lucy is like kind of like telling you her specs. When she's like at like the hey, I wanna get married group, let me go to Vault 33, or yeah, 33. And she's like, I'm good at fencing, I'm good at this, 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 this. I'm like, okay, cool. So it's like you're giving us like your stats. So I was like never at the point where I'm like, okay, cool. I like it when you can do that and just tell me like, oh, this character is like BA from the start. Like just like give me that from now on and don't be like, oh, I've never touched a, a gun before and you're shooting bullseyes. You know, like that's like less believable in this weird video game post-apocalyptic future show. But I was like,
Which
all right, I like that.
brilliantly is in the video games. Like in three, that's one of the tutorial missions is you going through this test that evaluates you in that way. Like that is in universe a thing that exists. They call it the goat test, and like it decides what your job ends up being for the vault. And the whole point of it in Fallout 3 is to basically character spec, like so you can spec your character.
I
And so
like
the fact
that.
that they had that in the show was such a fantastic touch.
Yeah, I thought that was good. I was like, okay, cool. So we're getting everything with this character now. So nothing's kind of like a surprise. I do have one complaint with Lucy. I don't feel so she's grown up in the vault the entire time. I assume in a very happy, a sheltered life, yes, but for all accounts, a happy life. When things start going bad for her, it doesn't seem like she is like I honestly I wanted her to have a breakdown at one point and just like freak the hell out. Something.
It makes sense, though, that she doesn't.
Even when she gets her finger cut off, she's just like she's like she doesn't like she like hardly reacts to her, a dude cutting her finger off with a knife.
It makes sense, though. It makes sense, actually, in canon that she isn't that way. Because even though she's technically kind of in a control vault, because it's a vault that doesn't have anything horrible happening in it, it still has an experiment. Which is that they're creating the perfect managers. Over generations, they're creating perfect managers. And so, like, their whole thing, like, the whole point of those three vaults is to produce people that handle situations. That handle situations like the best managers would. Like, that's what it's all designed to do. That's all that
Okay.
vault. And so, like, they're going through. From probably the time that she was a baby, psychological indo because all of the vaults have psychological either they either have experiments or like indo like things that they're trying to accomplish in a sense. Like some vaults are like, oh, we're trying to create the perfect soldier. This vault's whole job is to make super soldiers. That's what we're doing. And some vaults are like, oh, I want to see if I pit two halves of a vault against each other, will they kill each other? And in some vaults, like hers, it's like, oh, we're gonna make the perfect management. Like the perfect. So from the time she is probably a baby, she's going through psychological conditioning.
See, that makes sense. I needed that spell. I don't know if that was spelled out in the show. That needed to be spelled out to me more. Because that was the thing that was the most unbelievable part to me. Because, like, yeah, like the people that she's known her entire life are getting, killed by bandits. And she's just like, oh, unfortunate. You know what I mean? Like, that's like.
Well, think about what the brother. What's the Norm? Basically, finds out everything he's ever known is a lie, and he handles it like a champ. Like he has like he's the closest one from Vault 32 or Vault 33 that has a freak out. He's the closest
Yeah,
one.
like, cause, but to me, he was always just a little bit different because he's like not conforming to all of their stuff. And they're like, I don't know what we do with this kid. We just keep demoting him to do like garbage tasks.
But like, and it's wild to think about if you think about the original episodes. Once you find out what happens in episode 8, because they do explain it, because the little the basically the oh, he's a pseudo version of what oh, what is the brain robot? There's brain
Bud.
robots, in, but yeah, but there's a brain robot in Fallout there, which he's basically a prototype version of.
Oh.
Not a mesmertron. God damn it. What are the brain robots called? They have a name, and but there's a lot of them. And he's a basically Bud is a prototype one because he's a little bitty one. They're generally like,
he's like a cool DJ Roomba.
yeah, he's a, and but he explains it's like, I was trying to create the perfect management. Like, because what's America gonna need is management. Time is the greatest weapon, and management is what America needs. And so he explains
I wonder how long he had been stuck with that broom.
I like to think that the other what she was in the actress that was also in Deadpool, who's playing the overseer.
Oh yeah,
What is her
escaping
name?
me, escaping me.
All right, you're gonna look up what her name is. I'm gonna look up. Today's break is brought to you in part by Vault Tech.
Today's episode of the What's Up Fandom podcast is brought to you by our good friends over at Wild Bill's Soda. It's summertime, so you can enjoy yourself a nice, delicious drink from Wild Bill's. You see them at conventions, Corey. You know, you see
I
them at
love what
conventions.
I have 3 Wild Bill mugs.
Same, same. You see them at conventions, but did you know, Corey, when you're not at conventions, you know that you can get cans delivered to your house? They have Wild Bill's in a can for you. They also have tea and coffee. So
So if
you
you're
can get. Oh.
so if you're finding yourself with a severe lack of Nuka-Cola or Sunset Sarsaparilla, you can fill that void with Wild Bill's.
Exactly. Get yourself some Gatling grape and some delicious birch beer by
Oh,
using
the
code
birch
F
beer
the
is.
birch beer. Okay, so I do a weird thing. I do the birch beer and I take that black cherry and I mix them. Phenomenal. It's so
Oh,
good.
that sounds amazing.
Oh, it's good. Like honestly, mixing but like a little bit because that cherry, that's a strong cherry.
It
So
is a very
like
strong cherry.
just put a little bit like their ginger ale, like their or like their what do they call it? Their it's not ginger ale. They call it something special. Or they're sipping sarsaparilla. Just put a little bit of the cherry in the sarsaparilla. It gives it just a little in the back of
It's
your like
so
right
good.
there. Ooh, it's good. But you can get your own by using code FANDOM10 at checkout and get 10% off your purchase. And that's on everything. So you can get yourself one of the little gift packs, like starter sets, where you can get a 12 pack of any delicious 12 cans of soda that you want. You get a mug and you get one of their metal straws. That's a
But go
sample
get the
pack.
sarsaparilla and tell them Corey
Sarsaparilla.
sent you.
It's still good. Tell them Corey sent you by using code FANDOM10.
Yeah, and then just leave a comment or something. I don't know. It'll
Exactly. Yeah.
probably be there.
I'm sure there's something. There's a thing that you can put a note and say like Corey sent told me to use this. But yeah, Wild Bills, to drinkwildbills.com and 10 at checkout, 10%. Thank you so much. Anyway, I did not find what the overseer's name was.
I did find out what I was looking for, which is RoboBrains. And they're brain robots, though they are prone to going insane because having a brain suspended in amniotic fluid, there's nothing that could possibly go wrong over hundreds of years.
Are we talking about Chris Parnell?
No, it's the lady with the gray hair, and she's in Deadpool. Like she's the blind lady in Deadpool.
Leslie Uggams, who plays Betty Pearson,
Yep. Yeah,
plays
her.
Blind Al.
Yeah, she's first of all, also a phenomenal actress. She's doing a great job. I'm pretty sure she trapped the bud there, because she's I think the last one to come out of cryostasis.
Yeah, I was thinking it was either her or it was whoever was that just like, eh, whatever. Just I'm gonna put this
You annoy.
convenient broom here.
You annoying. And also another thing too, cryostasis has existed in the Fallout universe. That's how the fourth game starts. So everything they've done in the show exists in the universe. Like they've conflicted seemingly nothing as far as I can tell.
One of my favorite things that they do is what they do with Goggins, with the ghoul. I do love that he is the original Vault Boy. Like, that is him. The whole thumbs up thing was him. I thought that was really cool. And like they referenced it in the first episode of like, yeah, I learned it in the Marines. That's you put your finger up, and if the explosion's bigger than that, then just pray. I thought I did like his daughter too. She's like, Daddy, was it my thumb or your thumb?
Yeah,
It's like,
oh.
I was like, oh.
So, actually, that is one thing that I feel like might conflict with established canon. That's the only thing I think I found on the show, and I'm not even entirely sure of it that conflicts with established canon, which is that I'm pretty sure it's established that the bombs drop on Halloween of 2077. So that's why you see a bunch of Halloween decorations and it being fall whenever the bombs drop. So the fact that it seemingly happens during the summer in
To
LA.
be fair, it is LA, and October in LA, from living there, is just like any other day
That's
in
fair.
LA.
That's fair. But also, we don't see any allusion to Halloween at all. So that, because one of the things that's pretty common thread is you see a lot of Halloween decorations in Fallout settings because the bombs dropped on Halloween. So,
They struck out. They struck our most religious of holidays.
at least around Halloween. I don't know if it
Okay.
directly on Halloween, but like there's a lot of like decorations for Halloween around and
Well,
buildings and.
maybe the mom in this instance wanted to, have the cowboy themed birthday, and then they're gonna put up all the Halloween decorations.
Also fair.
Cause
That
I
is
mean, like,
fair.
you can't have conflicting, cause that would be weird if you've got all your Halloween decorations up and then you're like, oh, let's have a cowboy.
Cowboy witches, which honestly we're still the same time period, so that actually kind of works. I don't know.
I thought that was cool. Like, just like him being like the origin and everything, I thought was a very nifty touch.
I loved it.
And her like Lucy watching those like old movies with her dad and being like, oh yeah, this is the same guy.
What a
That
reveal
was
that
fun.
was the same dude. What a reveal. What an absolute stellar reveal on in episode 8 that it like the dad was the same dude and
Yeah.
like has like
I will say I was not a fan of like the CG that they used was a little bit too shiny.
Oh, to young him up.
Yeah, it was a little bit too much.
You have to think though, this show probably didn't have as much money behind it as we would have liked, considering
Season
like
two should. That's why they
oh,
couldn't put a
season.
death. That's why they couldn't put a death claw in it. They were like, oh, it's about $50,000 more than what we have.
Yeah, I mean, probably. I mean, we didn't see a super mutant. We saw the hand of one. Like, there's a lot of things that are staples of the Fallout universe we didn't see, probably because budget constraints. They spent all the budget being, which, oh my God, what a choice to make most everything practical. Like the fact that the power armor suits are practical.
Do you?
I do think it's a weird choice that they didn't do T-51s because that's, the most iconic power armors in the series.
Well, they've like the those are the T60s, right? Like the
Yeah,
most up-to-date ones,
which are
or the
from
last
Fallout 4.
ones
Yeah,
that.
4 and 76, you see the T-60s. But like for most of the Fallout universe, 51 was the one we saw.
Do you think? With again, most of it being practical, I would assume they went to that town in Africa that has like where like the desert is like taking over the houses. Because I don't know how else you do. Because like the amount of sand that they use to cut like bury that house that she like walks into, I'm like, there's no way you had to have filmed that on location.
I think a lot of it was filmed in Toronto.
Everything is just filmed in Canada. For
Yeah,
it,
I think.
you need to go to Canada if you want to be in Fallout. I'm
Well,
sorry.
there's been a massive bid by LA. They offered 25 million in write-offs for the show to move to LA.
Oh.
That happened recently after the show just blew up. Immediately, LA made a bid for the show.
Interesting.
Even though the show is now no longer going to take place in LA, seemingly it's going to be in Las Vegas.
Well, you
They
know
made
what
a
that
bid.
means, right? We're gonna go to the desert, so that means we're gonna go to the Star Trek rock.
Yeah.
Because
Oh,
it's
100%.
always might as well.
100%. It's definitely going to film there. 100%.
Interesting. But if it's gonna be LA, that means it's gonna be a lot more digital, I would assume, than practical.
Oh, they're probably still going to keep practical. If the showrunner realizes what they did right with the first season, they're probably going to keep it practical. Because that's really what the show did right. It's ever almost everything we see, there are very few things that were CG'd. Most of all of it is just in universe right there. They had five suits of power armor. Like, that's wild. Dudes in suits, like, having to, like, that's why the hands were so goofy.
So I want to go talk about like one thing that I was not super with was I was not a big fan of Maximus's story because I don't know, I didn't enjoy Maximus. Like that was one thing because I was like, I don't know if I'm supposed to root for this guy because he is the way that they're doing it. And I understand, like, we start with him, how, why he starts and why he kind of is, you know, at least kind of cold the way that he is. With, you know, Shady Shores getting blown up and then basically being jumped in by the Brotherhood. But Thaddeus does do kind of do does a good job of, like, I feel bad that he was not able to, you know, kind of do the bullying for the new guy that would replace him. So I do kind of see that, which I kind of, I mean, it makes sense. I don't know. I like just throughout the whole entire time, I just was not into Maximus. I,
It's it he they had a trick they were trying to tell a tricky story with him, which
yeah.
is a religious military. And so it's, you know, it is like this is he's basically a Templar in the Roman Catholic Church. Like, we're trying to tell that story. And him quest seemingly questioning that, like being brought up basically to believe that, you know, the Knights Templar, which in this case is the Brotherhood of Steel, are the saviors of the world. And then finding out that they're not, that they're just as much a part of the problem as everybody else, but at the same time, they still have power. They might is right in that sense. My thing with him is that, first of all, let's talk about what he did right. Probably one of the most believable romances I've ever seen on screen.
Yeah.
Like, they really handled that well. The fact that they didn't immediately go for all this shit outright, like that it was really slow played and like how they interact with each other, and like probably one of the more convincing TV show romances I've seen in a while.
Yeah.
Fantastic. That part of his character I believed. You're right. His interaction with the Brotherhood is weird. For all intensive purposes, I do not understand why he's in the Brotherhood. Or
Yeah, it
I.
doesn't make sense to me. Like, I feel if you're going to, so I also feel like we have too many good people in this show. And so like
Really?
yes, just like
Who?
I'm of the opinion, I mean, we've got the ghoul who is, you know,
He's not
who
good. He's evil. He's flat out evil for
I
most
don't
of what
know,
we see
man.
of him.
He's an anti-hero. He's an anti-hero.
Oh, he is an incredible anti-hero.
But I don't
But
think that makes him evil, because like it
most of
does
the
feel like he
acts
is turning.
that we see him commit as the ghoul are of the like lawful evil. Like, if we're putting it on the D&D scale, lawful evil for the most part. Like, he only serves his own interests. He does not care about Lucy up until the very end when he sees all this shit going on. Like, it's only until we only start seeing good ghoul until episode 8. That's the only time we see good ghoul.
But you kind of see what they're gonna do with good ghoul. Plus, Walton Goggins plays him too well. Like, he's too good to be to you be like, I hate this guy. He's too good for you to do that. Lucy's our main character. She is
Lucy's,
us basically.
she's lawful good. She is the
Yes.
only lawful good character in the whole show.
And then you've got Maximus, who is still also kind of, I mean, who he does bad things, but he's still good. I would give him that like neutral. I'd give him like a neutral.
I think he's lawful neutral if we're going, if we're
Yeah.
like, because the thing is like he does let so. I think the misstep with his character, the only misstep I could see is I don't think they played up his zealotry enough.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, he needs to go all in. Like, if you're gonna do a character like that, I need him to either be all military or all about the faith. Like, that's what I want. I want a good little Christian soldier, basically. That's what I want. I
And
don't
but I
want.
think though it's I think we can have our cake and eat it too. If they played up the zealotry enough, it makes his conflicting feelings, like the fact that it's like, are we the problem? Moments mean more. The thing
Exactly.
what I think what we're both feeling is that they didn't mean anything because there wasn't enough of him buying into the Kool-Aid. Like he wasn't drinking the Kool-Aid enough to make those moments of like, are we the problem?
Exactly. Like
Mean anything.
he feels like a character that they're like, we have this character in here. He's the ex-military or he's the military character, and this is what he is. Is he good? Is he bad? We're gonna try and make him good, love interest. And you're like, okay, what's the deal? Like, what is the deal with him? And it's like, okay, like, we just don't have a deal. He's kind of like Han Solo, but not charming.
Yeah.
And
Yes, yes.
that's the problem. Like, he either needed to be charming or he needed to have a damn good backstory, and they just didn't do it with him. So I would honestly, what I would love for him to do, I would love for him to like start off being like, you know what? I'm gonna play the Brotherhood. I'm gonna play them so hard, but then it turns. He starts turning, and I want him to be the bad. Like, I want him to like basically kill the cleric, be like, I'm gonna take it and I'm gonna change everything. I'm gonna make it good, but I'm gonna make it good
Oh,
in my way.
he's new
And
Elder Maxon, like an
exactly, and like, that's what I
new
want, and
Elder
I want him
Maxon.
to be the big bad. Like, that's what I would love, because I feel like that would be a really good, cool thing for his character to be. And like, then you have a big, like, you have a villain. Because I mean, honestly, I love Kyle McClanahan. He is a bad guy, but he wasn't in the show. He's in the show for, you know, the episode one and then maybe 15, 20 minutes in episode eight. And that's it. He's no longer in the show. I'm sure like they're setting him up to be, you know, it in season two. But the problem with shows like this is you're constantly killing off the bad guy. And that's what it's gonna like. They're gonna kill Kyle McClanahan next season. And then you need a, like, if you're gonna do a season three, you need a big bad, and I want the big bad to be Maximus.
Oh, it'd be so great. It'd
It'd
be
be
such a
so
good
good.
choice. He already has a good bad guy name, Maximus. Like, that's such a good bad guy name.
Praetor Maximus? Yeah,
And
that's like.
the Brotherhood's always been sort of a faction of like, are they good? Are they bad? And it depends on, like, in New Vegas, they're basically the bad guy. They get their ass whooped, but they're basically the bad guy in a sense of like, they're not the good side to be a part of. And in four, they're really morally ambiguous in a sense, like you find out Elder Maxon, which is a lot like Maximus in a sense that he even shares a similar Maximus Maxon. Like Maxon is like he's like at first you're like, oh, he's charming and young, he's a young elder, which is weird. But then you find out he's kind of a psychotic zealot that wants to purge all these beings. Because, like, in the big moral question in four is you have this faction called the Institute creating, basically, for all intents and purposes, synthetic human beings. Like, they are indistinguishable from real human beings, even though they're artificial. And to the point that unless the Institute activates their controls, they think they're real. They think they're human. They have consciousness. They have choice. They have sentience. And Elder Maxon wants to wipe them out just because they exist.
Because they're not
And
humans.
because they're not humans. Even though, for all intents and purposes, they are. The only difference is they have a little thing here that can deactivate them. That's about it. For
And
all,
then you
like,
find out that Elder Maxim is actually one of these people.
no, you
Ah, oh, it would have been
don't.
cool.
There is a moment like that. One of your companions that is a part of the Brotherhood that you recruit, named Dance, Paladin Dance. He's one of the companions. You find out he is a synth, and like he asks you to kill him because he's like, I am an abomination. The Brotherhood has told me I'm an abomination. You need to kill me, and that's like a big choice that you have to make in Fallout 4. Do you kill this companion you spent a whole bunch of time with, or do you let him live and try to convince him that the Brotherhood's wrong for wanting you dead? Because he's like one of their biggest paladins and like their staunchest supporters. They're like, he's drinking the Kool-Aid. Like Paladin Dance is probably a good example of what Maximus should have been. Like, Paladin Dance drinks the Kool-Aid. He's a good boy, but he drinks the Kool-Aid. He believes in the Brotherhood of Steel and the mission and like everything. And then he like gets proven that it's like, oh no, it's the Brotherhood's flawed, and Paladin Dance is a crisis of, identity. So Paladin Dance actually probably is a pretty good example of what Maximus should have been.
Did you kill Dan?
No, I convinced him to live.
Good job.
Because he's a good boy. He doesn't do anything wrong. Like, Dance is like the idealized version of the Knights Templar. Like, he's the one doing the right thing. It's the elders upstairs that are the ones doing all the wrong stuff.
So he's kind of like, I guess Maximus's friend.
Yes.
What's their name? Hold up, I got this. Vamp for me.
Vamp?
Yeah.
Oh. Today, again, we're reminding you, today's episode is brought to you in part by Wild Bill's. Again, get that sarsaparilla. It's the closest thing to sunset sarsaparilla you'll ever get. Go to wildbillsdrink.com.
drinkwildbills.com. It's the same. Yeah. If you type in
Drinkwildbills.com.
Wild Bills, you'll find it.
Drinkwildbills.com.
So their name is Dane.
Dane. Yeah.
So that's pretty close to Dane.
Dance.
I mean, it's one letter off.
They were really pulling from everything they had.
So is that kind of like, so what's the group that I just want to call him Ben from Lost. The one with the dog. What's his name? What's his
Oh, the Enclave.
The Enclave. Okay, so that's not the same thing.
No, the
Okay.
Enclave.
Michael Emerson.
Which is also wild that we see that's something new we've never seen, because most of the time the Enclave is underground or in offshore like oil rigs. Like, to have an on land base is a little odd for the Enclave, like above ground. But the Enclave is the g American government that survived. Like, they created their own, like, so basically Bud's Buds was an alternative, like, shares a lot of commonalities with what the Enclave was. This bug. Boom. Nope, I didn't kill him. There we go. Got him.
Yeah, because I was wondering, because like they do it, like they talk about how like that, I guess like they get like the government's approval to create the vaults, but then like when they're discussing, there's like no like government people there. It's all like
Yeah.
corporations.
So the government made their own thing that was like Bud's Buds, called the Enclave, or what eventually was called the Enclave. And it was like all of the descent. They didn't cryogenically sustain themselves like like Bud's Buds did. They just, they're descendants of like
So they're
the
constantly learning and constantly bettering and not just being stuck in 21
yeah.
whatever.
So it's like all their descendants that, like, one of the, and they're the villains. Like, in one of the games, they are the villains. The Enclave is the villain of the game. Like, they are trying to basically recreate America as it was, which is the problem, because America as it was is what caused the war in the first place and caused the great cataclysm. So that's one of the, I think, Fallout 3's moral thing is, which, by the way, fantastic that your dad in Fallout 3 is Liam Neeson. Love that.
Really?
Yeah, your dad in Fallout 3 is Liam Neeson.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, he's and the Enclave is the villains, and they're stuck in the past in a sense that, like, they're just basically trying to make America as it was. And they're the descendants of all the politicians and all the people of power in America at the time. And they have, like, the Brotherhood, the most advanced technology, even more so than the Brotherhood have.
I
Like,
was
they
about to say,
have.
'cause like the Brotherhood, like they don't create, they
They
just
don't.
use.
The Brotherhood, the Enclave continued to create and continued to work on. So, like, they had, scientists, like, continue to work on stuff, and, like, they have power armor that
I mean,
is
yeah, like they
far.
created cold fusion. Like, yeah, I was wondering, 'cause I was like, are they gonna be like the big ones? 'Cause like I assume we've not heard the last of them,
Oh no.
considering like Michael Emerson's character like steals freaking everything from them. And, or I guess not everything, but he steals, like, you know, power and a dog, and kills some people. But yeah, I would assume like they would be after him more, but it just feels like they just kind of let him go. Like, you don't see anything else about that the rest of the time.
Yeah. It, well, you also have to, one of the things in lore wise you have to recognize is that the Enclave is in a weakened state at this point in the story. Like,
well, are they in this point? Because they're at least above ground now.
Yeah, they're in a weakened state because, like, a lot of their major hubs have been destroyed by this point.
Oh, like, okay.
Fallout 1 and 2 deal with the Enclave pretty extensively. And the Lone Wanderer of 1 or 2, I can't remember which one, messes up the Enclave pretty hard. Like, destroys their main base of operation, which is the Mariposa base, blows that thing up. Like, that is canon, destroys it. So they're in a pretty weakened state at this moment. And also, if you know, in New Vegas, like, what we see of the Enclave in New Vegas is like they're a shadow of their former selves. So the events of Fallout 1 and 2 are canon, and that puts them, because like what you do, the Enclave you deal with in New Vegas is like, yeah, we got our asses handed to us and we are not what we used to be. They're okay. Still moving forward with a lot of their projects, but they're not the major power they used to. They probably just don't have the resources to go after a random rogue.
A rogue scientist.
And if they're not going after him because he stole Cold Fusion, that means they already have Cold Fusion. And they've implemented Cold Fusion.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Okay. All right, okay. You see, I needed somebody to explain this stuff to me, because like the whole time I'm watching it and not knowing anything about the games, like the whole time I'm just like, I don't understand why things aren't the way that they should be.
Do you
like,
know?
To me, it would make sense. Like, this is like a big, like the Enclave, like this seems like the organization. This seems like better than the Brotherhood of Steel and the New California, because like the New California Republic just seems like a bunch of bros and ponchos with guns. Like, that's what it seems like here. And then you've got like a bunch of scientists who have like access cards, and you're like, well, I mean, they at least have electricity because they've got access cards. So like seeing stuff like that, you're like, okay, they're the biggies. Like they're the ones. And then it's like, well, nobody tried to get him back. Like, he literally just like walks out pretty much. And you're like, oh, okay, weird. Like, why is nobody hunting him down?
They probably don't need to, and they probably don't have the resource to do it, because they literally, and like, it's been a while, so they've had time to recover, because the events of Shady Sands happens, you know, 20, 30 years, 40 years. I can't remember the exact timeline of when it happens. It happens pretty, you know.
Well, he's part of shit, like, Maximus is part of Shady Shores, so it's been at least 20 years, I would say, 15, yeah. 20 years.
But, you know, with the Enclave, like, their major base was the Mariposa base, and that gets blown to hell. So they're at best, like, starting to recover, meaning that they could probably become a massive problem, you know, coming
Season 3
going forward. But they also have, like, another thing too is they have a lot of irons in the pot. Like, the whole purpose of that base that we see them at wasn't Cold Fusion. It was trying to control super mutants. Like, so basically the Enclave creates super mutants. Like, they're the reason, like, they're the progenitors of the FEV virus, and they create super mutants. And they've been trying to control super mutants to make them super soldiers forever. And so, like, the experiments that they're doing with the dogs, controlling the dogs, the end result of that is you see a super mutant on a gurney. That's the thing that's under the blanket that they're pushing.
Okay, I was
pushing.
Wondering, okay.
That's a super mutant. So it's alluded to that the point of that base, that Enclave base, is to learn to control super mutants, or figure out a way to brain control super mutants to make them weapons.
I love that this episode basically turned into you explaining to me Fallout, which I appreciate. So I hope that people that I'm gonna put that in like the show thing. Like if you need qu if you have questions about Fallout, we got you. Like Corey
Yeah,
comes
ask
in
them.
clutch.
I will answer any question about Fallout you may have to the because I can tell you all about like extended lore, even like small things like the different cars that we see. So the show has a variety of cars that we haven't seen in the show overall. Like I think or in the games, we see a lot of the cars that we see in the games, but like Cooper's car, the convertible, I don't know if we've seen one of those before, so that's pretty
That
cool. But
car
the
looked dope, by the way. Like with the like weird, like the opposite opening hinge doors. I was like, that's pretty dope.
It's
Like, can
pretty
I get
dope.
one of those?
I don't know if I'd necessarily like that it's banana yellow,
Oh no, the
but
color's terrible.
terrible. But
I do think it's I do like yeah, like I mean aesthetically, like the show is so good. Like it's so oh we also kind of forgot about Matt Berry. Matt Berry was great.
who does Matt Berry play?
He's the robot
Oh,
with the I
yes.
was like
I lost my mind when I found out that that was him. And like they show him at the party, and I was like, and he's like, I'm the voice of Mr. Handy. And I was like, no
it was
way.
so good. I was like that's fun. That's
That's
really
such a
good.
good choice.
He was so
Such a
good. Oh shoot, what's that show? Not what we live in
What we do in the shadows?
not what we do in the shadows, the other one that he's in, where he's like a actor like who does like voiceover and singing and stuff like that.
Oh,
He was on BBC a long time ago, like BBC
yeah.
America. I love that. And like it had the dude from Star Trek Discovery in it, the guy who plays the Klingon agent. He's Finn something Fandango.
Yes, it's the Fandango. Yes.
It's like it's
Oh,
me
I know.
like that.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, like that, whatever the show that was, I'm gonna have to find that
I've
show because
seen
that
clips of
was.
that. I've seen so many clips of that show. Not real. I thought it was a sketch for the longest time, not realizing it was a show.
It's a dark show. Like, it's dark. But I mean, it's British humor. So, like, it's like, they're like, we've got you, dark British humor. Don't you worry. Clem Fandango was his name. Clem
Yeah.
Fandango.
Yes, Clem Fandango.
It's like, if
Yeah,
you say your name one more time.
Clem Fandango here. Yeah, yes, Clem Fandango. What do you want?
That's so good. I'm gonna have to watch the Clem Fandango bits again. I know there's a compilation. But yeah, I love the setting. The aesthetic of the show is that part of it makes me want to play something like Fallout 4. Is if I'm starting off, in my Fallout journey, aside from Shelter, if I'm starting my Fallout journey, what am I starting with? What should I begin with?
Honestly, the only answer to that question is Fallout 4. The reason being is that like anything before that is going to be a tough like downgrade in, like it's always hard when you play a game that's a like Fallout 4 is relatively old even now. Like it holds up and it's really well made in a sense, but like if you try to go back, like the best game in the series in my opinion is New Vegas. It's the best one. But it's a severe it's 10 years or so
'Cause that's
before.
like PS2, isn't it?
Like New Vegas came out. I'm gonna look that up. But like it's just a tough to go back to that level of gameplay. So you're gonna start with four. And four and the best thing about the Fallout series is that none of them have to do with each other in a sense that like you can go from knowing nothing and play any of the games. You can start with any one of them because you're basically gonna be learning about the world through the game anyways.
Is there not like
And
a timeline or anything? It just like.
because they take places, so the world's been annihilated, so like each game takes place in a different place. And there are things that have to do with the other games in certain senses, things that are mentioned, but because, the world's been annihilated, they're basically like taking place in separate countries. 'Cause one and two take place in California, Three takes place in Washington, D.C. New Vegas takes place in Las Vegas, and four takes place in Boston. And so, as far as the people on the ground would be concerned, they're basically like they're foreign countries. Like they would have an idea of certain things happening, but
They wouldn't.
it wouldn't matter to them.
Okay.
And so New Vegas came out in 2010.
So 2010, that would have been three,
That's four.
5 years after the 360 launches. So that's
Yeah.
Xbox 3. So that's PS3.
But, that's 2010. That's 14. It's a 14-year-old game. Fallout 4's release was. No, it didn't release today.
Are you sure?
It's what it just told me.
Oh, well, I guess it's talking about the
The
update that you're.
2015. So 2015. So 5 years later. So there's a very massive difference between those two games as far as gameplay, mechanics, graphics, and everything else. So it'd just be really hard to go back.
Yeah, because I mean, like, that's going from 360 to Xbox One. So, yeah, that's massive jumping.
And it would be really hard to find the charm of the game without the nostalgia. So I'd say four. Start with four.
Okay.
And also the modding community in that game for that game is immaculate. So anything you want to shove into that game exists in the modding community. So
All right.
it gives it hundreds of hours of replayability. It already has hundreds of hours within the game already. And then giving the modding community and that the fact that they're like the modding community is making whole separate games using the Fallout 4 engine. Like you were asking earlier about different countries, a massive mod recently released called Fallout London, which is basically a whole separate game using Fallout 4 as the base of the game.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Like a massive fully voice act and everything, mod that is a whole like DLC worthy thing that takes place in London. Has its own armors, has its own everything, and it just basically uses Fallout 4 as an engine,
That makes me
or at
want to
least.
play like Fallout Japan.
Oh my God, right?
'Cause like you've got a lot of nice countryside that you get to roam around, and then when you go into the cities, that's
And I
gotta
mean,
be.
katanas are canon for Fallout. There's a flaming katana that's one of the most iconic weapons for the game called a shish kebab. And it's just
Fantastic.
a it's a it's a katana with fire jets.
I mean, why not?
That's another beautiful thing about the game is that there are ridiculous weapons in Fallout. One of my things that I just lost my mind about in the show is that almost immediately they featured one of the funniest weapons in the game, which is the junk jet.
The
And it's a
junk jet.
gun. It's called a junk jet. And the gun just fires your junk. You put junk into it and you fire it at your enemies like teddy bears, bowling balls. Anything can be put in, any junk that you find in the universe can be shoved into this gun and fired at someone.
For someone who plays the game, there's a lot, like I would assume there's a lot of Easter eggs. Like
Oh.
I got a lot. The one that I did love was when they go on their side quest. In like was that is that episode four that the ghoul and Lucy go on their
Lucy?
little side quest to
Oh
the
yeah, because he straight up says there's always a like he says it's
like
like
the no, rule number one of the wasteland, like
yeah,
you're always
exactly.
gonna get sidetracked for
Tracks. Yeah,
bullshit.
bullshit. Yes, 100%.
I thought that was great. I was like, that is every single thing. Anybody that plays anything open world. 100%. You're always getting side quest, like sidetracked with some random
100%.
quest.
100%. And Fallout, one of the beauties of Fallout is that the people who made the game, especially originally and even now, are massive nerds. Like there was a whole feat you could take, a perk you could take in New Vegas, which is called Wild Wasteland, which just shoved in more of this in there. So like one of the original things you could find is you could find the TARDIS in Fallout.
Phenomenal.
In Fallout 1 or 2, I can't remember which one, and it would just like phase out if you approached it. There is Indiana Jones inside the refrigerator in New Vegas. You can find it, and he even has this like hat, and you can take his hat, and it gives you a buff to charisma.
Beautiful.
Like there are the whole game is just littered with references to other games. Monty Python is referenced a bunch of times throughout the games. All kinds of references.
Love that. Yeah, I mean, we could. Oh, go ahead.
One of the biggest things, one of the biggest pieces of Fallout and Fallout lore is the original creator and the current creators of Fallout love H.P. Lovecraft. Love it. So there is a whole subplot that involves like the Fallout universe's basic equivalent of Cthulhu, including a cult that worships them, an entity that causes you to go mad. Like it's pre like that's another thing that can happen within the show is we could get like a Magnus Archives Cthulian like style show because that exists in canon. Like it exists, there is a tentacled monster that you end up finding in all of the games. Like there is like it's real. Like there is like one of the things that happens in Fallout 4, there's this dude that has a hat and it gives him like ancient forbidden knowledge and like they're pretty sure that's tied to Kreventh, which is like their version of Cthulhu. So yeah, they're eldritch beings in the Fallout universe.
Okay. Oh man. Okay, yeah. So now you're making me want to play. So Bethesda needs to hire you as like a
They do. I want to work on Elite. I either want to work on a game or be in the show. I'll take either. And I will be an extra that gets shot. I don't care. I love this IP so much. There's so much in Fallout that's just so much fun and so wonderful and amazing that, like, just to be a part of that world would mean the world to me.
Oh man. Okay, final thoughts because we are going a little long. So, final thoughts on the Fallout TV series.
It's perfect in every way.
It's good.
I love it. I think it's.
If I am willing to change my opinion if they do something a little bit more with some of the characters. Like with if they can do something and make Maximus like actually me care about him, then I can go back and say, okay, this was all a like precursor to that, and then I can see it. But from like where I'm at right now, I'm like, I'll watch season two. I'm not gonna not watch it. But I wouldn't be, it's not a show where, oh, season two's coming out, I'm gonna rewatch the entire season. I'm gonna find a compilation on YouTube and watch that. Like, that's where I'm kind of at the moment.
I respectfully like have a different opinion. And for me, it's perfect because, and this is where I'm gonna get like super mushy gushy on you guys. It's created a whole new generation of Fallout fans. It's so good and it's so well written in a sense like the final episode, episode 8, was unbelievably compelling. And so well written, like all the twists and all the reveals are just absolutely earned and ex well executed, like the mom and all that. Just incredible. To the point that like it made something that people that have never experienced Fallout before, never had any attachment, don't even game, love the show to where I have more people that I can share this thing I've loved for decades. Get to share with more people. Anything that can do that, I'm on board with. I'm on board. Like the fact that like these, people like the mom and her daughter who have no attachment to gaming or Fallout are like, oh my gosh, explain to me this, and I get to talk Fallout with them. It's made a utopia that I never thought I'd get to experience. And so that to me is worth its weight in gold. Everyone involved in the project, they took a video game IP and they could, and we've already had, like we've recently had examples of people failing. The Halo series sucked. It
Yes, it's
sucked.
bad.
So to take a video game IP that's so beloved and actually do it justice.
It does feel from like everything that the people did care about the source material. Unlike Halo, where they're like, yeah, you shoot people, you shoot the bugs, you know, it's like, oh, okay, well, obviously you don't play the, you know, this, it does feel like someone who's, you know, they actually care. And who knows, like, I also will reserve the right to change my opinion if I start playing the Fallouts and I go full on, get myself a Pit Boy and, you know, just like go crazy. Then who knows, maybe it'll hit much different for me. Mm-hmm. But I want to like it more. Like, I'm definitely, so on our past stream, Rent or Buy, it is 100% a rent for me. Like, it's good. Like, I would pay for a streaming service to watch this. Like, I'm,
but isn't that telling in and of itself? The fact that it was good enough that you're willing to want to go back and play the game.
But it's not Shogun.
Well, like, of course
from,
not.
From episode one of Shogun, I was like, okay, I'm gonna get the book. Like, episode one of this was really good, but then I also think what may have kind of been bad for me was I just binged it all.
Mm-hmm.
I should have given it a little bit more time to let it sink in.
I think that that's one of their only missteps. They should have released it week by week, because there's so much to discuss in each episode that I would have loved to have watched an episode, discussed it with you, discussed it with people on set, and then got to watch episode two, discuss it 8 weeks of getting to like theorize and think about, rather than knowing outright what's going to happen, what we're dealing with. And I mean, I still get to, but even now, I'm going to count my blessings. I still get to sit here and talk to you. And we could have a whole nother episode of like theorizing what's going to happen in the second season, mm-hmm. what we would like to see. I would love to do
like a whole second of like where we want to see the games going forward and, you know, what we would like to do in the second season. Cause that, like, honestly, if we start that now, it's going to be another hour.
Yeah. So. And there's already allusions of what the Fallout 5 is going to deal with because of negotiations they had to make for the show.
See, I like that. And you know that stuff. So that's why we're going to do that. So we'll do a part two Fallout. So get ready. Maybe, you know, in the next couple weeks, you'll get that one. We want to give you time to digest Fallout. I would have loved, and maybe for season two, we do, if they decide to release it all again, I am down to do an episode, you know, watch an episode chat.
And I just got a message I'm going to tell you about after we wrap.
Okay. And like with what you said, like, just like when we're talking, like the whole manager thing, if I would have known that, while I was watching, if that would have clicked for me, I 100% would have been more open to it. Because now thinking back, I'm like, okay, now stuff made sense. I wish I would have known that during.
Mm-hmm. The whole time I'm watching the show, I'm trying to figure out what 32's experiment was. What their goal is.
I was wondering, I was like, what is it? Like, I don't understand what.
And then once it was revealed, I was like, oh, it makes sense why she is the way she is and why they're all that way. Why they're all like, there is no Warren Bossing say. Yeah,
they're all very Judy.
Yeah, they're all very sure. Judy. And it's because they're the perfect middle management. That's exactly what you would want.
That makes so much sense. See, we got to do it again, because that makes so much sense now. Because now it kind of makes me go, hey, do I need to watch Fallout again, knowing what I know now? Like, do I need to watch it again?
It changes the perspective on, like, having the knowledge that I have, it changes the perspective on certain things, on a lot of things that happen. And then finding out in episode 8 what the directive of the vaults 31, 32, and 33 were, holy shit. Like, it's like, oh, no wonder they're all like that. And it's weird that Norm is not. Like, it's weird that he's not. And why he keeps getting demoted. Like, he's the one, he's the outlier. He's the one born not like the rest. He's not perfect middle management. He's a revolutionary. And
you know what would also be fun? Last speculation.
Mm.
They kill everybody in season two. They kill, wait for it. Okay. They kill everybody in season two. Season, like the end, like the last episode of season two. 50 years has gone by. Guess who wakes up and is now our main character for season three? Norm. It would be fun because then you're literally starting out like a Fallout game.
Oh, that's right. He's still in the vault.
Yeah,
He's got to go into
he's still
cryo.
frozen. He's frozen.
Because, like,
He wakes up, goes out.
because I thought, like, it, because it sounds like Bud wants to kill him. So it's like he could kill him while he's in cryostasis.
I did think that was funny. Him being like, get back here, let me stick you with this needle. I thought
Yeah.
that was fun. Okay, Corey. Yeah, I'm ready for part. We'll do Fallout Part Two.
Yeah. I have a message I'm going to tell you about as soon as we're done.
Definitely. Corey, where can people find you social-wise?
You can find me at Corey, the letter J, Phillips, on all social media. Corey J. Phillips on all social media.
Anything coming out that you can talk about that you want to promo, or anything that's out that you want to?
Go watch MF Ghost because all the things I'm working on right now I can't talk about due to NDAs.
That's usually how it
I'm
is.
shooting a movie right now and it's gonna be pretty awesome, but I can't talk about anything about it until 2 years because they were saying it's probably gonna be in post for 2 years.
I'm telling you, if you need to borrow my power glove, you let me know. You can borrow it. It's.
I first day on set said it looked like a pit boy.
I can see it. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh L. Kane. Find the podcast on Instagram at What's Up Fandom, on Twitter at What's Up Fandom PC for podcasts. Find all of our episodes wherever you download podcasts. Again, thanks to Wild Bills for sponsoring this episode. Again, and 10 at checkout, get 10% off. Corey, thanks again, man.
I'm excited to be here.
All right, so for What's Up Fandom, I'm Josh.
I'm Corey.
Bye, everybody.